Okay, so we began yesterday really just a basic introduction to the sugya. One of the avos mazikin that I mentioned in the Brais of Rabbi Chiya is Menasech. And it's not clear exactly what Menasech means. So the Gemara Masechet Gittin that Tosfos already references has a machlokes in Rav and Shmuel where the Menasech means literally I take somebody's wine, I pour it to an idol, so I cause a tremendous hefsed mamon. Or I took somebody's kosher wine and I took some trefil wine and mixed it together, and I in effect also caused a tremendous hefsed mamon. So in either case, I cause the hefsed mamon. Why should one amayor interpret the word menasech in one way and the other way? So the answer is obvious that textually the word menasech means to pour wine, doesn't mean to mix wine. So why in the world did some amayor, why did Shmuel think that it can't mean what it sounds like? So the Gemara says what was prompting Shmuel to give this almost roundabout interpretation of the phrase menasech is the fact that if it would be literally menasech, then it would be subject to the rules of kimlu draminei. When I pour wine for an idol, that's the chi of mrs. Bezin. So since simultaneous to my chi of mrs. Bezin is the chi of mamon, that's classic, that's the recipe for kimlu draminei. So therefore Shmuel veered from the simple reading of the Mishnah and said menasech cannot be menasech. Neither in the Mishnah nor in the Brais of Rabbi Chiya, the word menasech cannot be menasech because you would be popped out kimlu draminei. And it's now Rav, it behooves Rav to explain why kamlu draminei doesn't apply. So the Gemara Maseches Gittin explains Rabbi Yirmiyahu's version of Rav that the reason why kamlu draminei doesn't apply is because the chi of mamon already kicked in beforehand. At the time that the person picks up the wine, he's already chayv al mamonis, and the chi of misa doesn't occur until a few minutes later when he actually pours it to the idol. So therefore, kamlu draminei doesn't apply because the chi of mamon already preceded the chi of misa. So the Gemara never explains what Shmuel's response to that response of Rav was, and that's pretty much where we left off yesterday. So the real question we have to ask ourselves is, we have to get the timing perfectly in this one, because there's a whole timeline that's taking place. So at 6 o'clock, what happened? The person picks up the thing of wine. Okay, so he picks up the pretty big bottle of wine. He picks up the bottle of wine. All right, at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, he actually pours the wine onto a mizbech. So there's no question there's going to be chayv misa at this moment. And the question is, well, will he be chayv mamon over here? So Rav says yes. Rav Rabbi Yirmiyahu said yes, chayv mamon here. And don't bother with kimlu draminei. And somehow Shmuel was still concerned with kimlu draminei, even though there is a clear window of time, there's a clear distinction between the moment of time of the picking up of the wine and the subsequent pouring. Afa b'chein, somehow Shmuel considers that to be covered by kimlu draminei, and that's really where our sugya begins. So in order to understand this, we have to learn a sugya in Maseches Ksubos. Who was with us for Eilun Aharis? That's most of you here now. Oh, it was like a perfect day. You came back on the right day. It's a couple of years already. We still you weren't here for Eilun Aharis. Okay. So we got a total of two people in this year who were here for Eilun Aharis. The Gemara in Eilun Aharis, the Gittin Torah of Ksubos, is talking about the intricacies of kimlu draminei. And the Gemara quotes the Tana that we happen not to paskin. Like we mentioned this sheet in passing a couple of weeks ago in a little bit of a different context, that's the view of Rabbi Chunia ben Hakona. Rabbi Chunia ben Hakona had a fascinating sheet about kimlu draminei, unlike everybody else. What was that? What was Rabbi Chunia ben Hakona's big breakthrough in kimlu draminei? That it applies even to Anshei Shemayim. Everybody else thought that kimlu draminei applies only to Anshei Adam. How do we know that? Why would we think that it only applies to Anshei Adam? Because what's the original model of, what's the case, the original case of kimlu draminei? Pause for a second. What's the case? The pregnant woman, right? So two people are fighting and then they end up injuring a pregnant woman. So the Torah says that if they merely caused a miscarriage and nobody got killed, v'lo ye'ason, so then the person who hit the pregnant woman is going to be chayav to pay to make vladas. That's to pay to the husband the value of the vladas. But if there was an ason, namely if somebody got killed, and it's not clear who got killed, the other person got killed, the woman got killed, that's already another sukkah, so that enough for now. But if there's a chiyav mrs. Beis Din on the table, so then the book, then the story's over. Then there would not be any chiyuv to pay for this bevel others. So Lichtin Parshas Mishpatim is this din of Kamav Dramine, and the model of Kamav Dramine is the chimis beis. It's talking about Ritzichel or Sirtzach Machish Vemeis Bas Yumas. So that's why all the Tanoim, short of Rabbi Chaim HaKana, said, "Ein l'chabal chiddush." That Kibud Rambam is an unbelievable chiddush, and the Torah is only talking about Einshei Beis Din Shel Mata. And if a person does an aveira that's chayv kareis, an aveira that's chayv misib d'shemayim, any kind of Einshei Shemayim, you can still be chayv mamon at the same time. It's not a problem. It's not covered by Kibud Rambam. And the lone dissenting voice was Rabbi Chaim Ben HaKana, and the Gemara has a lot of trouble in the beginning of the third paragraph of Ksubis to try to understand where Rabbi Chaim HaKana is even coming from. And the Gemara has different Makairos. Maybe there's a Gzeirah Shavah, it says the word Ason here, it says the word Ason actually in Parshas Miketz about B'dei Shemayim. Maybe it's a Pasuk based on the comparison to Kares to Misa. The Gemara really works for a whole blot. Remember back in the old Naira's day, the Gemara works really, really hard to try to defend Rabbi Chaim HaKana. At the end of the day, we don't Pasuk. At the end of the day, we don't accept him. So why are we spending so much time talking about him? Because the Gemara has the following statement within Rabbi Nachman Ben HaKana. Again, there's a classic example, even though the initial discussion is within a shita that we don't paskin like, but we can extract from this discussion some very, very important truths even for us. So come to the Gemara, the third of the Mamakovis, in Ksuba Samad Aleph, Guf Amr Chizda. Moda Rabbi Nachman Ben HaKana, Begonev Chelba Shel Chaver Ve'ochla Shul Chayev, Shekvan Yischayev Begnei Ve'kam Shavu De Yisachaylev. Rabbi Nachman Ben HaKana normally would say that this occurs patas from Mamon. What would he say about the following case? I break into your house and I go for the real, real, real good stuff. What do I go for? I don't go for the jewelry. I don't go for the cash. What do I go for? Go for the chalev. That smells fast. Oh, really? Anyone ever see chalev? Ever see chalev up front, up close? What does it look like? Pretty what? Pretty grotesque, right? I mean, it's not something you would break somebody's house to steal. So this guy, he breaks in, and he steals the chaylev, and he eats the chaylev. So now, how many potential chiyuvim do we have? So number one, he's chayv, he's a ganav, so he has to pay for the genevas chaylev. And number two, he's chayv koresh for eating chaylev. I remember when the sheikh was showing me the chaylev one time, and he was saying to me, he says, this is it. I was telling myself, it's a courage. It's worth courage to eat this. I mean, Shabbos, maybe I can hear, you know. But for this, for chayl, maybe should be the gidah nosha. Malchus, it's worth it to eat a gidah nosha. Ain't begin with time. It tastes terrible. It'll taste anyway. Very, very strange. Okay. So the guy steals, breaks into the guy's house, steals his chayl, and he eats it. So now we have to be done. He's chayav moment for stealing, and he's potentially chayav courage for eating chayl. So according to the Rabbanon, this would be a mutshalos yichayvot. Look at the Rabbanan on Shishimayim. But according to Rabbi Chaim Ben HaKana, one could envision maybe come with Rabbanan, maybe a potter from Mamon. So Gemara says, no way, not a chance. Why? Maybe Rabbi Chaim Ben HaKana, because the chi of Geneva was chal. At what point? When were you chay for Geneva? When you picked it up, when you lifted it up, when you were going with it. Whereas the chi of karet isn't going to be chal. So you sit down, and you put your napkin on, and sit down, cut up with your fork and knife, you chay, but you enjoy it, 20 minutes later. So maybe when the chi of mamon precedes the chi of bisa, that's not covered by kavod ramine. So fracting markasha, the verse says, lema pligid rabbi abin. That statement that we just said within Rabbi Chaim Ben HaKana may disagree with Rabbi Abin's famous statement. What did Rabbi Abin say? Tell Rabbi Abin, this should bring back some memories. Hazerik chait betchilas arba l'sof arba v'kavah shirai malichoset potter shakira terech hanochehi. Rabbi Abin taught us the following statement. This is already important for us. A person shoots an arrow, lots to bring back memories, shoots an arrow, and on Shabbos, and he shoots the arrow. He's standing in the middle of the street. Okay, William Tell over here. Back of the arrow. Is that what it looks like? No? Arrow shooting. Sideways umbrella, okay? The arrow's is shooting. Mechilas Dalet, the self Dalet. This is the end of Dalet Amos away. Okay? So at what point is it going to be chayef for carrying on Shabbos? You chayef for carrying dalet amos b'shus harabim. So the chiyuv is really going to kick in over here. But lo and behold, in the middle, there was a shirt. Okay. Address, all right? Okay? And the arrow went right through, shot through it, totally destroyed it, and then lands at the finish line of Dalet Amos. All right? So comes the Abed and says, are you chayef for the Kriyas HaShirayim, for the ripping through the silk for the shirt or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, what? Before you saw Rabbi Abin said, what would you have said? Abzi chayef. Why? Because it preceded. Because the Kriyas HaShirayim preceded the Chiv of Dalet Amos, of the Chiv of Skila. Comes Rabbi Abin and says, no, that you're not going to be chayef. You know why you're not chayef, says Rabbi Abin? Because of the following principle. Akira tzerech hanochahi. That simple pshat is that we don't view it as just the chi of misa taking place right over here, but rather the akira, when you pick up the item and you put it down somewhere else, so both the akira and the hanacha are integral parts of the chilul Shabbos, the first mishnah in Shabbos. You can't be chayef for chilul Shabbos for carrying unless you did an akira and a hanacha. So the Aveira is not really limited to this one split second in time, but rather the Shas Aveira is when? This is the new Shas Aveira. Akira Tzorech Hanocha. And therefore, any Chiyuv Mamon that transpires in the middle of this long, long, long window is going to be covered and exempted by Kam Levid Ramine. That's the simple Pshad de Gemara. That's the simple reading of Rabbi Yavin said, Akira Tzorech Hanocha. So therefore, Korosh Zorek is the Chesh Korosh Rabbi Yavin, Potos Akira Tzorech Hanocha. Comes the Gemara and says, just as you say, Akira Tzorech Hanocha, let's plug in that principle and say, says the Gemara in Ksubis, that Hachanami Hagbo Tzorech Achivahi, rather than saying that the Chi of Mammon was Chal over here, and the Chi of, wrong case, I'm sorry, this is the wrong picture. From the Chulim HaKonos case. What's the picture? So here you have a guy who, over here, breaks into somebody's house, yes, on the table, this chalev over here, and he picks up the chalev, so he did a maisa kineva, and he doesn't sit down and actually eat it, takes the chalev and puts it into his mouth, okay, boop, goes down, alright, that's the shas achila, everyone can tell, my expertise in art, I majored in art in NYU, so a person does the maisa kineva over here, he does the maisa achila over here. So what did Rav Chisda say? Made Rav Chisda be in the car that Yechaya, Frech Tegabar, what are Yechaya for? Name a what? What principle should we say? Name a, what should we call it? Name a Hagbah, Tzorech Achila. It's the same thing. Just as we drew an extended Maisa beginning from the Akira to the Hanacha, so too we should say this is all one big Shas Aveira, and any Chiv Mamon that was accomplished any time in the interim should be covered by the Chiyah Misa, should be covered by, exempted by Kibbutz Ramine. That's the Gemara Mesechus Ksubz is Kasha. So isn't that a stira? This is Rav Chisda's statement about within Rabbi Chudim Min HaKana. This is Rabbi Abin's statement over here. So the Gemara wants to know, do these two things contradict one another? Lema plig ad Rabbi Abin. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So to which the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily true. It's not a stira. Back to the Gemara Ksubz. Hochi Ashta, the Gemara says, Hosam I Epsher Lahanocha Beloy Akira, Hocha Epsher Lachil Beloy Akbadi Boy Gochin Vi Ochil. Says the Gemara, no, there's a big, big difference between the two. That over here, there's an unbelievable tsiruf between the Akira and the Hanocha. The Akira and the Hanocha are mamish wed to one another. Whereas over here, the Geneva and the Achila, Not necessarily linked to one another. What's the difference? What is it about Akira and Hanocha? Says the Gemara, when it comes to Akira and Hanocha, the Lashon Gemara was that I Efshar LaHanocha B'Lay Akira. There is no way to place something down unless you first picked it up. So obviously as an absolute requirement, an absolute prerequisite to Hanocha is Akira. So since Akira is an absolute prerequisite to Hanocha, we can view the two as merging together. We create this new window called the Shas Chiyuv. Anything that happens in the middle is covered by Kibbutz Ramine. Whereas that ironclad relationship between Akira and Hanocha doesn't exist between Kineva and Achila. Why is that? Because it's possible to do what? It's possible to eat without picking it up. It's very, very simple. What do you do? You bend down, you buy gochim, you get down on your hands and knees, and you munch away on the delicious chaylev on the floor, and you never, your hands are behind your back, and it wasn't necessary to do a maisa hagbot, do a maisa geneva. So therefore the Gemara says, because the two scenarios are not identical in that feature, that explains why here, come with Ramine, come with Poter, whereas here, Ein. That's the first answer in the Gemara. The Idea Shlomo, the Gemara gives another answer. Comes the Gemara back to Ksuv, says Inami. Hasam Ibayla Duri Lamasi Mahadala Hachabasi Mahadala. Says the Gemara, we're going to look for another reason why the Akira and Hanacha are so linked, so wed, are so bound to one another. What is it about the relationship between Akira and Hanacha that connects the two so tightly, so glued to one another? Is that once you shoot that arrow, what is not happening? You're not stopping it. You can't turn it back. Once you cannot turn the clock back, once you shot that arrow. But she didn't get better Geneva, just because I picked it up, just because I sat down to the table, just because I put my napkin in my lap, just because I took out and I put it in my food about, I can stop at any given moment. So until the actual eating takes place, the actual eating did not take place. Mashiach came by the Hanocha. Once the Akira takes place, the Hanocha is going to happen. Once I shot that arrow, it's not stopping. It's not turning back for anything. I don't have the courage to turn it back. And therefore, the Akira and Hanocha are viewed together and merge into one unit. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara basically develops these two Yisodos, the same type of an idea, that the whole Yisoda Dovah, to differentiate between Rabbi Abin's Kamlei of Zerikas Achet and Rav Chizda's lack of Kamlei by Rav Chumri Karaz eating the Chalev, all depend upon the relationship between Akira and Hanocha, and there are two different reasons that connect Akira to Hanocha so dramatically. So reason number one is because it is Eefshar. You cannot split between the two. You can't have one without the other. And number two, Eefshar Lahachzir. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So comes Tosfos in Maseches Gittin, and Tosfos now begins to analyze our sugya, the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel about Menasech, in light of everything the Gemara just said up until now. So let's go back. Now we have a third case on the board. The third case is the case I just erased before. The third case is the potential case of Menasech. Right? The Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yirmiyah, all the Amoraim who are weighing in on this case of Menasech. And what's happening over here? A guy is, first he sees there's a barrel of wine. Okay? So he picks up the barrel of wine, he does a geneva, in a sense, on the barrel of wine, whatever you want to call it. And then, a few minutes later, what does he do? He takes this barrel of wine, and he pours it onto a mizbech. Okay, I guess the smoke cover up the mizbech, all right? He pours the wine onto the mizbech. And the real question we want to know is this model closer to the Rabbi Abin model? Or is it closer to the Rav Chisda model? So we have model number one, where Kimlei does apply. We have model number two, where Kimlei doesn't apply. And now we have model number three, and we're trying to figure out what's the din. Does Kimlei apply or not? So how would we go about analyzing that? What's the obvious answer? What factors would we have to weigh, everybody say? What questions do we have to ask? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Namely, well, does case number three, model number three, does it have the quality of Eefshar B'Lav Ochi? Does it have the quality of Eefshar L'Hachzir? What do you think? So let's think it through, Rabbi Say. Let's think it through. What do you think? Is it possible to pour wine on an altar without picking it up first? Kind of hard to pull that off, right? So let's give in for a second and assume that it's Eefshar. So there's no way to do it. Ooh, there's no way to do it. There's no way to do one without the other. That's a recipe for connection. If that's a recipe for connection, that's a recipe for what halacha to apply? That's a Kimlei svar. That's Rav. That's a potential Kimlei svar. That's a Shmuel speaking. On the other hand, just because you picked up the barrel, is it reversible? You picked up the barrel, you're walking to the altar. So is it reversible? What's reversible? You didn't shoot an arrow. You can stop at any time, dead in the tracks at any time. So one could potentially argue, says Tosfos, that case number three is the perfect litmus test as to which is the real answer, which is the right answer of the Gemara. When you learn Ksuba, Staf Lamed Aleph, and the Gemara gives two answers, so you don't really bother to think which is the right answer. Who cares what the right answer is? The whole goal of the Amoraim and Ksubas Lamed Aleph was just to differentiate between case 1 and case 2. So the Gemara came up with two different ways to differentiate. Either one is independently correct, and it doesn't really matter which one is the quote-unquote the right one. Each one is a correct one. But now we get very, very doctristic, and now we say, wait a second, now we're going to search, we're going to find an afkamina between the two cases, and an afkamina is what if you have a case where, on the one hand, it's efshar, on the other hand, it's not reversible. Is that closer to one or closer to two? Comes Tosis in Gittin and says, that's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. If you want to know what Rav and Shmuel are really in the heart and soul arguing about, you know what they're arguing about? Says Tosis, they're arguing about what is the correct distinction between case one and case two. Those two Lashonis, those two anonymous Lashonis in Ksubas Lamed Aleph, is very much the machlokes Rav and Shmuel in Gittin Afnun Bey. That Tosis first Mahalach of the Sugya. But then Tosis backpedals for a minute. And Tosis says, no, you know, maybe that's not the issue. Maybe that's not really the machlokes. Maybe everybody agrees that the real factor, the fact that's really going to make or break it, is factor number one. Factor number two is kind of like an afterthought. People say, oh, v'inami, you know, in case you want some more lumber, in case you have enough to talk about it, to throw in another svar. But the emes of svar is the efshar b'lavochi. And that's the only thing that really matters. So now, we have to go back to the drawing board, back to case number three, and ask ourselves, is case number three efshar b'lavochi or not? Can you pour wine on a mizbeach without picking it up? That's the question. If the answer to that question is, no, you cannot, so then it becomes the equivalent of Zorach Chet and Kibbeh Bidram, and it kicks in, which is exactly what Shmuel said. If you could figure out a way to maneuver and finagle and somehow, you know, crawl on the floor, figure out a way to pour wine without picking it up, so then, if it's Evshe B'lavochi, then it becomes closer to model number two, and in model number two, there's no Kibbeh Bidram, which is exactly what Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah said. So Tosfos says, maybe that's the Nekudas HaMachlokes, a very Mitzias Machlokes. Can you be Menasech Yayin without picking it up? So should we demonstrate? How should we do this exactly? We don't want to be Chayef Skila by doing this. So we don't want to be Chayef of Makir Bachutz. You know, we don't want to try to do this. But I guess I can envision that somebody would say, ah, oh, come on, you can't do that. You got to pick it up. The Mizbech's up here. And I guess somebody else would say, well, you just kind of, you know, get your hands and knees and tipped over the barrel and, you know, let the wine pour onto the floor. That's also called the Nisuch. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Can't tell. So Tosfos says, well, maybe that's the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Tosfos is searching. Tosfos knows for sure that the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel must lie in the Sugya Daf Lamed Aleph. But Tosfos is not sure, is it a Lumdish Machlokes, as to what is the Nekuda that differentiates in case 1 and 2? Or is the Machlokes almost a Metzias Machlokes, namely everyone agrees that the Nekuda of significance is the Efshe B'Lavochi. The point that the Gemara is not sure about, the Amoraim are fighting about, is does Menasech fall into that category or not? Those are the first two Mahalchim of the Tosfos again. Everyone saw these Tosfos? Everyone saw the Tosfos kickers? But then Tosfos takes an about face and Tosfos says, you know what, we have a third approach to this Tosfos. Maybe we're giving too much credibility to the Gemara service. Maybe we're giving too much credibility to Rabbi Abin. You know, it's almost like we're sticking Rav and Shmuel into Rabbi Abin. Like we're saying, come on, Rav and Shmuel, you got to buy it to Rabbi Abin. Everyone, that's like Halacha Mashtina, Rabbi Abin, for sure, Zohar Chet. Everybody knows Zohar Chet. How long do we spend on Zohar Chet in Subas? Weeks, right? Long time. Everybody buys into Zohar Chet, right? So Rav and Shmuel better buy into Zohar Chet. Taisa says, excuse me, Taisa says, why are Rav and Shmuel bound to Zohar Chet? Maybe Rabbi Abin himself is totally the Machlokes. Maybe the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel and Gittin is the very Machlokes. Is Rabbi Abin right or not? Tosfos says, how do you know that Rabbi Abin is Muskum? The first two days in Tosfos are trying to stick and finagle and push and shove everybody into Rabbi Abin. We're just not sure what the view in Rabbi Abin is. We're not quite sure about some of the mitzvahs, how to be Menasech Yayin, but everything is hinging upon Rabbi Abin being Kodesh Kedoshim. And now Tosfos says, you know what? We're not even sure Rabbi Abin is right. And maybe that's good for the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. In order to pull off that stunt, Tosfos has to support that argument. Tosfos has to show you, through other Gemaras, other plays in Shas, that seem to not give as much credibility to Rabbi Abin as we would have thought. And that becomes a challenge. Do we have any sources to say that we're not as convinced that Rabbi Abin is as Kodesh Kedoshim as we thought he was all along? So we have to learn now a sugya in Perek Merubah, to begin to learn the second Perek Merubah, that becomes the source of Tosafot's theory that Rabbi Aben is not as unanimously agreed upon as we suspected. And if Tosafot could show, could prove to us that the whole Rabbi Aben story, this whole Chagadya of Zarek Chet, this whole Shtikta Kirtah Hanacha is highly questionable, if Tosafot can succeed in convincing us that, so then they have a very, very nice shot in Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel are fighting about this very point, is Rabbi Aben right or not. So up until now, Tosafot was convinced everyone buys Rabbi Aben, we're just not sure about the details of Rabbi Aben, and now Tosafot is questioning Rabbi Aben himself. I ask you, Rabbi Yisrael, before we read the Raya in Bava Kamma, if you never would have read the Gemara in Ksubas, never would have heard of Rabbi Aben Zarek Chet, would you have said it in a million years? If I would say to you, the Klal Gadol and Hilchos Kibbutz Rabbanan has got to be at the same time, everybody knows that. The Misa and the Mamon must be simultaneous. And I'm going to tell you, just as simultaneous. Why? Because even though on the clock it's not really simultaneous, at the end of the day, the arrow's not landing till 10 seconds later. At the end of the day, the shirt was ripped 10 seconds earlier. No, Apidin, that's simultaneous. This Klal, you would have said this on your own? Not. So Rabbi Aben is such a gewaltige chiddush that Tosafot is going to now show you, going to try to prove to you, it's not muskim at all. And once he's able to show you stam gemaras that, and that mesecheis to Rabbi Aben, that puts Rabbi Shmuel into much better light. That's the goal now of the sugya, to try to show you, try to discover, try to make up, try to maneuver gemaras that seem to negate the entire sheet of Rabbi Aben's Zarek Chet story. If we can succeed in finding such sugyas, so then we're home free in understanding Rabbi Shmuel.
Didn't you ever think that Kimon and Rabbi May was so focused on the clock, the millisecond of the clock? Because if you look at even the classic case with the pregnant woman, one died a millisecond earlier.
Okay, so we need a lot of work in Kimon and Rabbi for that one. But you weren't with us in Eil Nivus, were you? Was your brother with us? Maybe, I don't remember. David? Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. How much we're going to talk about it now, I can't tell you, but there's a lot to talk about. Okay. So, basically, let's go find that Gemara, see if it exists even. The Gemara exists, but the Tosafot is reading the Gemara is correct. It's totally on a machlokes. But let's go back to the pivotal Gemara, the Gemara that supposedly, Tosafot is hanging their hat on, that supposedly denies Rabbi Aben. So it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, under the Ayin of a base. It's the background of a Mishnah in Bava Kamma in Perek Merubah, where the Mishnah talk about Kibbutz Ramine. The Mishnah talk about Kibbutz Ramine vis-a-vis the Knas of Dal Dehei. So just Chazar for a second, a person steals an ox, and he shechts it or he sells it, so he has to pay five times. He steals a sheep, he has to pay four times. So the Mishnah says, what's the din if a person steals an ox, and he shechts the ox on Shabbos? Now what? Is he chayav dal v'hei not? So what's the answer? Definitely not. Why? Because at the same moment that he should have been chayav dal v'hei for the shechti of the ox, he also is chayav skila for chil shabbos. Sheikh is one of the lamites malachas. So it's kibbutz ramine and he's covered. He doesn't have to pay for the ox. Okay? That's a fair shemishta. What if a person steals an ox, steals a shor, and he sells the shor on Shabbos? What do you think about that? Not in shechti, he sells it on Shabbos. What do you think about that? So what does the Mishnah say? Anyone know? He's chayav. Why is he chayav? Because there's no kibbutz ramine. What do you mean? You're allowed to sell things on Shabbos? What's the answer? No, but it's only nisa derabbana. It's not nisa deraisa. Why are you not allowed to sell things on Shabbos? What's the answer? Anyone know? So Rashi in two places writes two different things. One place Rashi writes gzeir shem yichtov. We're afraid you may come to write. Another place Rashi writes in Tzoch Heftzucha. It's just general business transactions off limits on Shabbos. Neither of those Yisurim carry with them a chiv of skila. So therefore, the Mishnah says quite simply that Hagonev Mochem B'Shabbos is Chayev Dal V'Hei. Just parenthetically, what else do you see from this Mishnah? Just as an aside. Huh? No, well, there's no owner Shaguf anyway. What do you see? Oh, there's no chi of karis, no chi of mitzvah, there's nothing. Just as an aside, nothing to do with kibbutz ramine. The Mishnah says that I steal something and I sell it on Shabbos, so the din is I'm chayav to pay dal v'hei. What does that imply? That the sale was what? That the sale was valid. The sale went through. One could have argued, how could a sale be valid? A sale takes place on Shabbos. It's like Yovid Lomahani, Hakad Halach, except the sale done in Shabbos. So the Rishonim write, you see for this Gemara that a sale done in Shabbos is still binding, it's still valid. So by mistake, I went ahead and opened up my store on Shabbos, or on purpose, and I went ahead and I sold you something. So you can't turn around and say, oh, sorry, the sale didn't take place because it was on Shabbos, Chol Shabbos. That's not true. You were Chol Shabbos, and the sale is still binding. Fine. So comes the Mishnah and draws this obvious distinction between Ganav Tavach B'Shabbos, that's covered by Kilei D'Rabbanan, in contrast to Ganav Umach B'Shabbos, that is not covered by Kilei D'Rabbanan. Comes the Gemara and says, wait a second. There is a Raisa that says, Vatanya Potter. Even though the Mishnah says Ganav Umach B'Shabbos is Chayav, there is a corresponding brisa that says Ganav Umach B'Shabbos is Potter, which is a big problem, because the brisa is applying Kilei D'Rabbanan to Mechira, which is absurd. Mechira is not a Nisa Skila. Nobody says selling something on Shabbos is a Nisa Skila. So what is Pshat in the brisa? So comes the Gemara and says, it must be that the brisa is talking about a very, very unique sale that was done in a manner that carried with the Chilul Shabbos. And it carried with the Chilul Shabbos on the level of Deraisa. So it wasn't the sale proper, that's the Chil Shabbos, Deraisa Skila, because selling, buying, and selling is not a Deraisa, not Skila B'chol. But you figured out, you finagled, you maneuvered a way to pull off the technicalities of a sale, and by doing so, you did a Chil Shabbos of Skila, and therefore, Kilei D'Rabbanan is going to kick in. That's the only way to make any sense out of the Braisa. So the Gemara, Mamish is standing backwards and forwards, banging its head against the wall, trying to figure out, give me a case. How could you sell something that also, that licked in the sale somehow and this Eskila was violated? That's the only way to understand this Braisa. So the Gemara comes up with a very, very creative answer. Elam Rapapa. But Omelo, in the fifth of Ramakam, is Zerok Genevo Secha Lechatzeri V'tikdali Genevo Secha. Yeah. The fourth picture over here. One of our classic pictures. Remember these pictures from those days? We had this picture. Okay, listen to this. Alright? So I just stole an animal. Alright? I'm going to make it a sheep, just to make it a little bit easier for us. Alright? I just stole a sheep. So here I am. I'm the Ganav. Alright? What does the Ganav wear? A mask over his eyes, right? Beady eyes, yeah, okay? Alright, and he just stole the sheep. So he's holding on to the sheep in his hands. Okay? Here's the sheep. And he's trying to get rid of the sheep off somebody, right? He wants to sell the sheep really, really quickly. So he's traipsing down, you know, 185th Street, say, Nick, what's talking about? Who's going to buy a sheep off him? And it happens to be Shabbos, alright? So there's a guy, say some, you know, I didn't mean that in a bad way, not in a bad way, just trying to make, you know, a lie for you guys. But, so there's a guy there, some guy who deals with stolen sheep, alright, what do you think he looks like, alright? So he's sitting over here, playing cards in the corner, right? And he's got a sheep smuggling business going on, alright? And he says, okay, I'm willing to buy that sheep of yours. It's all Shabbos, right? It's all Shabbos, Hayom Hashem, okay? The whiff of the children you can smell in the background, there's mirrors, okay? It's a beautiful scene, Shabbos afternoon. And this guy says, listen, come to my backyard, all right? Here's my backyard. And he's got walls rolled around his backyard. He doesn't want the police surveillance cameras to see this sheep smuggling business going on. And he says to him, listen, he says, do me a favor, okay? Please just deposit the sheep into my backyard, okay? Now, how's he going to do that? It's a very, very high fence. He says, no problem. Just Zerok Kedeva Sech. That's why I made it a sheep, not an ox. That would have been a lot harder, okay? So he says, please just toss the sheep over the top. He's got, okay, in case anyone animal rights guys are concerned, so we guys got a nice pillow over here so the sheep's going to fall so he gets hurt, all right? So he's tossing the sheep over. Zerokin have a sechel chatzeri, and what is accomplished in the momentus with that? What just happened now? Once that sheep comes into the chotzer, so the lakeach min aganov was just cleaner with a what? With a kid in chotzer, which is a mechira, because in order for mechira to be chal, for the Torah to say tzvachah mecharai, it has to be halachic mechira. So kinyan chatzer is one of the mechanisms of halachic mechira. So what we are witnessing over here is is a mechira taking place. What we are also witnessing over here is a chilul Shabbos taking place. Why? Because lo and behold, huh? The opposite of it, it's achnasa. Because it's like putting the sefer Torah back, not taking that. Okay, so the. What happened over here is this is all taking place in a main thoroughfare. There's a Rishis Aram Diraisa, there's 600,000 people walking around, seeing all this going on, right? This is a Rishis HaYachid, it's surrounded by four walls, three walls, four walls, whatever the definition of what Rishis HaYachid is. So what you're watching here is twofold. You're watching an act of Hachnasa, which carries in, it's part of the Malacha of Hatzah, part of the Malacha of carrying in Shabbos. So you're watching a Chi of Skila, as we speak, taking place. But you are also watching a mechira taking place, which carries with it a chiyuv dalad v'hei, and this is what the Braisa was referring to. When the Braisa says v'atani machar, god of a machar b'shabbos potter, the Braisa never meant to say that the etzem mechira carries with the kibbutz rabbi day. But if you use enough imagination, creativity, you can come up with a scenario where you created a mechira that also smacks of a chil shabbos deraisa. This is it. Zroik kedev asech lechatzeir, v'tikta ligedev asecha. So it sounds like, wow, come on, I gotta give Rav a lot of credit for this case. The Gemara says, not so simple. The case is potentially flawed. Why is the case flawed? Well, listen to this. The Gemara says, come on, who is the author of this braisa? It must be Rabbi Akiva, the Omer Kluta Kabishahun Chadamya. The E Kirabonan, Kevin the Matil Chatzebeisa Konal, the Nisham Slam Chaiva the Batili Ara. So comes the Gemara and says that this is a big problem. There's a glitch. There's a technical glitch with this case. In order for Kilmud Ramanay to take place, what must be? What's Chayk Lo Yavar? Right? Johnny, come on. What must be true? Everybody knows it has to be what? Same time, right? Did you say that to me? Right? It's got to be the same time, okay? It's got to be the same time. Says the Gemara, is this the same time or not? And you have to look at this mamish under a microscope. What moment in time is the Mechira taking place? When is the Mechira take place? Once it enters right here. Once it enters into the airspace of the person, the Mechira is chal right then and there. Aver chotzer is kaina. At what moment in time is the Chil Shabbos take place? In order for Chil Shabbos to occur, what does the Mishnah say? What must happen? You need an Akira and a what? You need a Hanocha. When does the Hanocha take place? 5 seconds later, when it hits the pillow, that's a big, 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 big break in time. Says the Gemara, wait a second, that's not coming to Ramanai. So what does the Braisa mean? The answer is, the Braisa must be assuming that the Chil Shabbos actually occurred at the same time as the Mechira. Why is that? How did that happen? Who says it has to mamash land and hit the pillow? Don't you need a Hanocha? Doesn't everybody know you need a Hanocha? Or Rabbi Akiva had a very, very unique sheet at the beginning of Masech HaShabbos, and then later on Masech HaShabbos, Rabbi Akiva said, when you're throwing something, so even though it's in mid-air, and it looks like it's mamash in motion, kaluta, kemishahun chadamina. Something that's in mid-air, it's as if it's already stopped. Means a very, very lomdish way of viewing physics, that we don't view something as in motion, rather we view motion as being stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting, and then I say it a million times fast. That's motion, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore there's a built-in hanocha, and as soon as it gets over the top, right into the aver chotzer of the koine, it's a done deal. It's a done deal both in terms of Chil Shabbos and a done deal in terms of Mechira simultaneous, and therefore we can apply Kibbutz Rabbanei. So Gemara says this braisa that's applying Kibbutz Rabbanei to this case, this only makes sense if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. If you don't buy into Rabbi Akiva, then it's finished. Then the whole thing is not true. Comes the Gemara and says, no, we can salvage the braisa even according to the Rabbanan. How do you do that? Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. The Eimel Otikdali Gerev Osech Ache Tanuach. The person made a condition. The fellow, the smuggler of the sheep, turns to the bandit and he says to him, listen, I don't want to be Kona, the sheep, until it's down on the floor, down on the mat. I don't want to be Kona in midair. Now, you can make whatever tanoim you want in kinyanim, you know, called tanoim shebam kayim. If the two guys want to make some kind of a silly condition, can do whatever they please. So if the two parties agree and say, listen, I'm going to toss it into your property, but I don't want the official sale, the moment of sale won't be recorded until it hits the bottom. So you could do that. You could choose to make such an agreement. What do we gain by such an agreement? Then, even according to the Rabbanon, the moment of truth, both for the Misa and the Mammon are simultaneous, and Kibbutz Ramine is acceptable. Kibbutz Ramine will apply. Ad kan divya Gemara. So the Gemara has two ways of figuring out how this case meets the details of Kibbutz Ramine. So one way is by just pitting on Rabbi Akiva and saying that everything happens up here, both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mammon happen over here, or pitting on the Rabbanon and moving the Chiyuv Mammon down by instituting a Tanai into the picture to changing the facts on the ground, so to speak, in terms of when the Mechiv is going to be Chal. But no matter what, the underlying principle of the Sug is that if you don't do something with either pitting on Rabbi Akiva or redo the case according to the Rabbanon, according to Pure Chachamim, this is going to run into a problem. It is not eligible for Kibbutz Ramine because the Chi of Mammon preceded the Chi of Misa. Ad kan divrei Gemara. Everyone read the Gemara inside? Who is up to me in the Mamre Kemis? Okay, everyone chap the Gemara, what the Gemara says? No. What's the kash in the Gemara? What's the kash in the Gemara in Bava Kama? What's the Gemara doing at the cup full with Maisalach, with the Rabbi Akivas and the Rabbanans and Tanayim? It's so easy to solve this problem. Of course this is subject to Kibbutz Ramine. Of course this is eligible for Kibbutz Ramine. Why is this so of course eligible for Kibbutz Ramine? Because this is identical to Zorek Chaitz. What's the difference between over here when the guy was Zorek the Chaitz? The Chi of Misa isn't until 20 minutes later. The Chi of Mammon precedes it on the clock, but halachically it's all one big unit. So it's over here, it's one big unit. From here till here is one big unit. So even though it's true that the Chi of Misa may have only take place over here, and the Chi of Mammon Taka did take place up here, who cares? Let's label this as Akira. What happened to Rabbi Abin? Why does the Gemara get so to hits with Rav Papa and Maislach and Rabbi Akivas and Rabbanas and change the case and Tanaya? What happened to Rabbi Abin? So Tosus, where is Rabbi Abin? What's the answer? He's not other Amorim, didn't buy into it. Rav Papa didn't buy into it. Rav Ashi was yesterday Kashi, didn't buy into it. The other Amorim didn't buy into it. Rabbi Abin is not Kiddush Kedoshim. Not everyone agrees to it. So Tosus said, Mistimis HaGemara, may from the lack of Rabbi Abin's appearance in the sugya in Bava Kama, where it so glaringly should be present and it's so glaringly absent, Zemin from Dosis Tai Sister, Rabbi Abin is just not as agreed upon as we thought. And that's good for us. Why is that good for us? Because once we've taken Rabbi Abin out of the picture as being unanimous, then we can go back to Rav and Shmuel and get to negotiate and say, well, Rav held one thing, Shmuel held one way, one held with Rabbi Abin, didn't it? That's okay. We're not married to Rabbi Abin anymore. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Amakom Yod B'Sholem, they're arguing about is Rabbi Abin right or not. The Gemara in Bava Kama is Gevaldik. Rabbi Abin is not the major player that we thought he was, just on merely little Meseches Kesubis. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. Who here saw the next in the Mamre Kemis? And or who was in the Shia 5 years ago remembers what the other Mahalach is? Anyone saw the next Mamre Kemis?
Mark from Bava Kama.
Yeah, that one I didn't even talk about yet. The Gemara, I put a sheet of Mekubetzis on. I put the sheet on, where am I?
Source 8.
Anyone have the source 8 yet?
Yeah.
Anyone understand source 8? Okay, great. Good, we'll move on to source 9. This text is Gevaldik. Because after all, Rabbi Abin should have made his grandiose appearance that he didn't. A raya that he's not Muskim. Of course, he should have only made his grandiose appearance, assuming that we read Pshat and the Gemara's Kasha properly. Let's go back to the Gemara Mevakama for a second. The Gemara Mevakama said, Gevalt, who is the author of this Braisa? Must be Rabbi Akiva. Because the Ira Banan, Kevan de Matya Lechatze Beisa Kana, Linin Shabbos Lomachayev Ad de Matya Liara. So let's just translate that question very, very, very precisely. According to non-Rabbi Akiva people, before the Gemara realized the possibility of the Tanai, what was the Gemara chepping upon? The lack of simultaneousness, whatever that word is. Simul, whatever it is, okay? So, the Gemara is chepping on the fact that the two things are not happening at the same time. That here the Chi of Mammon is being Chal, and here the Chi of Misa is being Chal, and there's a little bit of a break between them, and that becomes a challenge in the world of Kilmud Ramadan. That's how Tosos learned the Gemara, and Tosos asked, if so, why did Rabbi Abin rise to that occasion to solve that challenge? Is there another way of reading the Gemara's Kasha? So the Gemara says, "L'inyan Shabbos l'mechayva demasel yara." We thought Tosas thinks that means you're not chayev for chil Shabbos until it hits the ground. Is there another way to read that Kasha? Any other ideas to read that Kasha? So the Shiru Kubetis quotes Matei Zarosh in the 8th in the Ramakamis. The second line, Vachi Perusho. This is how you have to read the Gemara's Kasha. Kaven de matala avechot zirkana. For who long is kavet el lahakbos la geneva? For afilu katas haruach v'la matali ara in a cheshish. U'in in Shabbos lo mechai v'achis kavet shetanuach b'chotzer. The Havalei commotion is Kavad Zokstein with Zark Arba the Potter. If you ain't time to hear Misa, if you're my Potter at the Shluman, Taizia Rosh Dal. No? What happened? What does Rosh Dal say, by the way?
You're totally wrong.
Right. What does that mean?
Saying there's just, there was a small quirk in the case. How we in the way that we just understood it.
What's the core?
When
the Gemara said, "Hey, you're kind over here, and hey, you chayv misa over here," the Gemara never meant you chayv misa over here. You're not chayv misa here at all. Why not? Why not chayv misa here? What was the Ghana's goal of tossing the sheep over the top? The Ganav wanted to get the sheep to lay down and rest on the, take a nap in the afternoon on the mat.
To acquire the.
The Ganav had one goal in mind. He wanted to be mocked to the sheep, to the kaina. That's all he wanted. At what point in time is his job finished? The second that it goes enters into the airspace, when it hits the star, the Ganav is done. He is all smiles at that point. At that point, if something would happen in the next 10 seconds and someone would shoot that sheep out of the sky, would the Ganav care about that?
No.
Couldn't care the slightest. Why? Because he would get his money. He's an honest Ganav. He sold the sheep. He delivered the goods. The kidney was done. The fact that something happened to the sheep subsequently was up to him. If he's a dishonest guy, he'll have one of his sideshows stealing the sheep in midstream and then reselling it to somebody else, but that bad he's not going to be. So comes the Tzitzit Rosh and says, from the Ganav's vantage point, everything just ended at the moment of the Kinyan moment, the moment of Mechira. Therefore, any subsequent action that happens, well, he's not being misyachas to, he's not wondering about it, he's not caring about, he doesn't care whether the sheep self-destructs or hits the bottom, none of that matters to him, because he's going to get his cash once he's got under surveillance camera that the sheep was delivered into the airspace of the Kaina. And since the Ganav couldn't care less at the time of Hanocha, guess what? He's not called Chayav Misa Fechil Shabbos, it's not Melechas Machshavos. Because he didn't have intent that the malacha should finish. It's Moshe Lamar David David, the Tzitzit Rosh says. If a guy was planning on shooting an arrow 2 amas and the arrow got blown by the window 4 amas, this is my problem. I'm not chayef for that. I wasn't interested in the end of the malacha. So Kol's man that the Ganav wasn't interested in the end of the malacha is not going to be chayef misa b'chlal. So when the Gemara asks the question, hey, wait a second, according to the Rabbanon, there's no kam leved raminei, because the Chi of Mammon happened before. What does the Gemara mean? There's no Kamud Ramin, eh? Not that the chiyuv moment happens later and therefore starts simultaneous. That wasn't even the Gemara's kasha. What was the Gemara's kasha? That there's never going to be a chiyuv moment later. The chiyuv moment is not going to register. I'm sorry, the chiyuv mitzvah is not going to register later because it's lack of lachas l'shavas. That was the Gemara's kasha. Even if they learned that there would be a chiyuv mitzvah, maybe it would be Kibbutz Rabbeinu. You know why? Because maybe who's right? Rabbi Avin may be right. Vishtadim of a common group of the find Rabbi Avin is not right. The Gemara wasn't even talking about Kibbutz Rabbeinu in terms of simultaneousness. That wasn't even the sugya. The sugya the Gemara was chuppering on, the point the Gemara was chuppering upon, was a totally different nakuda. The Gemara is saying, hey, wait a second, you're not going to be chiyuv mitzvah altogether. Forget about not going to be Kibbutz Rabbeinu. They ain't going to be Kibbutz Rabbeinu if there ain't the chiyuv mitzvah. That's what the Gemara's real kasha was. So Tosis learned that the Gemara's kasha was, of course it's a chiyuv mitzvah. Why not? The guy did a kibud hanoch, it wasn't a chiyuv mitzvah. The only thing the Gemara was chuppering on is, even though it's a chiyuv mitzvah, but it's not simultaneous, and we have Kibbutz Rabbeinu issues, technicalities. According to Tosafos Rosh, we have Chil Shabbos technicalities. So that's the greatest reason why there's no Kibbutz Rabbeinu, is because there's no chiyuv mitzvah in the first place. So that's a totally different kasha. According to the worldview of the Tosafos Rosh, they are dealing with a totally and completely different kasha. This Gemara has no bearing on Rabbi Avin whatsoever. And the fact that Rabbi Avin didn't appear is because he didn't belong here. That's what Tosafos Rosh is razzle dazzle shot.
How does Rabbi Akiva
How does Rabbi Akiva solve the problem? Oh, very simple. According to Rabbi Akiva, Yechayev Chil Shabbos right here. The God of wants here. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you would be Chayev Skila because you wanted it to get to this spot. But what you don't care about is after it gets to the spot. This interim you don't care about.
You don't care about getting to that spot inside
Achnasa. I care about it because I got, well, the only way for me to be makhlit to the person is to put it into his reshus. So that's Chil Shabbos. I want to put, my goal is to put this animal into his reshus. That's called carrying
a
Shabbos. What do you mean,
Kavanah?
When I cook an egg on Shabbos, I don't want to mechav to mechav to chasha. I want to cook an egg.
You still have the rice if you cook the egg.
If I cook an egg on Shabbos, I'm not having in mind him milchus milchal Shabbos. I'm cooking an egg and a Shabbos. I'm chayv skila. Yeah. If it's shogeg, I'm chayv chalas. Yeah. Oh, so that this gets really, really dark. We spoke a lot about this, and we learned ksuvus about this. Tosafos Rosh is very, very loaded in terms of kavanas and machshavas kind of stuff. Not so simple. Not so simple at all. Not so simple at all. So you're asking, it's a psik resha de nichale or de lo nichale? I don't care what happens to it. That's what I said before. The guy couldn't care less when someone shoots it out of the sky, as long as it made it into the airspace. That's all that matters. So psik resha de lo nichale is not an issur d'oraisa, right? Last we checked in the Masechta Shabbos.
Could you ask the same Ravavin's case where the shirt in the middle is staring?
No, his goal is to get he wants to get the eye from one end to the other. That's his goal. He's practicing his archery.
So in the middle, the shirt, he's not intending to shoot it. Why is it accumulating?
He has kavada to be Zorik Da'alamas.
Correct.
So that's all. So he's having in mind to be Chal Shabbos, and he's doing an action that he's...
Staring of the shirt, he never had...
Okay, but that's not the Chal Shabbos part, that's the Chimamun part. But that's not the Shabbos part. So we have two radically different ways in the Rishonim between the Talmid Tosafot and the Talmid Rosh now as to how to understand what the Gemara was chuppering, what Nakuda the Gemara was picking up upon. And according to Tosafot's understanding, Rabbi Avin belonged and didn't make the show, the raya that he's not Muskim. According to Tosafot's Rosh, Rabbi Avin didn't make the show because it wasn't a show. It was a different topic of discussion.
Can't we just apply Tosafot's Rosh opinion to the Menasech case? Let's say
Menasech.
I only wanted one part.
But Menasech, to the Chil Shabbos, Menasech.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, let's just say, I only had Kavana to pour the wine. I just wanted to dump his wine, and it happened to be that it was a Avodah Zarah.
No, that's, Menasech means, the whole Menasech means you pour into an idol, that means you know it's an idol, you're planning on serving an idol. If I'm pouring myself a cup of Kiddush wine, it happens to be a statue in front of me, that's not a Avodah Zarah.
No,
so that was the Gemara's answer is, according to Tosafot Rosh, is that is that Hachadalayaskinan, that the guy really does want it to land on the bottom, because once they made it Tanai that the Kinyan won't be Chal till it hits the bottom, so then the guy really, Mr. Bandit over here, wants it to hit the bottom. So now it's Takam Lachiz Mashavas, the Takat Chayav. Once they made that, nobody told him to make that Tanai, but once the two of them agreed that the Kinyan won't be Chal till later, and that was his old Kavana, was to gank the Kinyan, so that will become Chayav Misa. Okay, no, but it's the Kinyan is what his Kavana is. So once we when determine what his Kavana is, that will impact on the Chilul Shabbos. Remember, says the Rush. Remember, this is the Rush from years gone by. Back to the recesses in the mind somewhere. Yeah.
The lack of Kavana for Nisgav Mizuk Shan Mizarak Arva is much different than the lack of Kavana.
Why?
Over there, you didn't actually think that something was going to happen. Here, you could think it's going to happen, you just didn't like care about the results.
Very good, excellent. Okay, so the Shidim Kubetzis himself quotes Rishonim, who disagree with this Tosa Rush, to that very Nakud, and said, the model that the Tosa Rush gave was a very, very questionable model. The Tosa Rush said, it's exactly, it's identical to the Niskabe Zuk Shtayim Vizorg Arba. No, it's not. Niskabe Zuk Shtayim Vizorg Arba means you only had a mind to throw two, and you had no idea it's going to go four. Here you did have, here you knew it's going to go four. So, l'chor, the response of the Tosa Rush to that distinction would be, yes, it's true, you knew it would go four, but Hilchos Shabbos, it's not enough just to know. You have to have, it has to be a dichle, it has to be secretion of the dichle. So, the model of 2 to 4 is not 100% established, but l'chor, the application should be the same, based on secretion of dichle.
Yeah, but further than that, Kasha, it's not just the intent was the same, if you want to get it over, it's just a logic mechanism that had a...
Right. Okay, but once the halacha mechanism of shtikin tzikin into the chotzer exists, so that's enough. Then he's not going to be chayav skila. So Rabbi Sai, so what do we have here? So we'll go back for a second. We're learning Git and Daf Nun Beis. No, we're not. We're really learning Bava Kamma Daf Dalet. We're talking about Menasech, and the Gemara Taisus referenced the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel about what Menasech is, Ma'arva Menasech. Gemara Git and Daf Nun Beis explains there's something to do with whether you accept Kirin Drama in these cases or not. So Taisus wanted to know what's the Nekudas of Machlokes. So first Taisus was working within the worldview of Rabbi Abed, it's Kedish Kedoshim, so we're Mechuyiv to Rabbi Abed. So then Taisus just explained, well, maybe there are two versions of what Rabbi Abed said, and we do know, the Gemara does have two Biur of what Rabbi Abed said in Ksubas Lamed Aleph, so maybe that's the nuance of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Then Taisus says, no, maybe everyone agrees to the first Biur, and the Machlokes is just a Metzias Tikka issue, that's the second of the Mahalach. And now Taisus says the third Mahalach, maybe Rabbi Abed is off the charts. How did Taisus have the nerve to say Rabbi Abed's off the charts? That should have quoted Rabbi Abin, that didn't quote Rabbi Abin. So that's the riot of a common defining of a base. But we're counter arguing Tosfos and saying that it's only a riot because Tosfos learned the Gemara in that way. If you learned Tosfos the Rush, then obviously Rabbi Abin wouldn't have made the presentation altogether. So it's not a riot to anything. So Rabbi Sai, hopefully tomorrow, we have to go back to that Sugya on Daf Ayin and further take a look at that Sugya a little bit more and see. About is there more that meets the eye in that sugya of a kind of ayin? Are there other reasons back to where Rabbi Abin doesn't make the show rather than Tosfos' conclusion? So hopefully we'll work a little bit on that. Maybe we'll have some time tomorrow also do a little something related to Chanukah. Tonight, hopefully that's at the Chagiga, we'll talk a little bit about Chanukah. Maybe tomorrow we'll have some time to talk about Chanukah as well. Sunday there is no shir, okay? So and we don't have that many more sugyas, not many much time left for a couple more sugyas before the bechinah. So we'll try to move things along. Okay. Good.